For most people in the Western universe, in fact, most people in the world, almost all of the energy is located either in the first, second, or third chakras. The first chakra can be characterized crudely as being connected with survival, and survival of the individual as a separate being. It's like we're in the jungle and there's one piece of meat, and who's going to get it, you or me? It's a survival of the fittest type model. It's a Darwinian assumption about the motivations of beings. And when you're at that chakra, that is your motivation, to protect you as a separate being, your separateness. The second energy point is connected with, and you can think of that as darkest Africa. And the channel up which this is all going is called the Sushumna. And think of it as like a big river. And you go in the river from Africa, and the next stop is like the Riviera. See, you've got your security under control, and now you start to go into sensual gratification and sexual desire and reproduction. You can't be busy reproducing if you're protecting your life. But the minute your life's protected a little bit, then you can concern yourself with the next matter, which is reproducing the species. So the second chakra is primarily concerned with sexual actions, reactions, and so on, at the reproduction level, procreative sex. The third chakra is primarily connected, that's like Wall Street and Washington and London. It's primarily connected with power, with mastery, with ego control. And those three are the world, most of the world that we think of. It's connected with those particular centers, and all the energy is located there, and it's usually connected. People justify their lives in terms of reproduction or sexual gratification, sensual gratification, or power, or mastery. And it's interesting that any act we know of pretty much in the Western world can be done in the service of any one of those energies. So that a man can build a huge dynamic industry and we can say, aha, phallic, see? Meaning second chakra. Or a person can seduce many women in order to have mastery and power over them, and we say, aha, concerned with power and mastery, third chakra. Doing sex in the service of third chakra. Now, it turns out, and this is the one that many of you will find hard sledding, but it's the way I understand it now, having been through this particular trip I've been through, is that Freud is an absolute unequaled spokesman and master of second chakra preoccupation. That those beings which were primarily involved in second chakra, that is, so that he could say quite honestly, because it is true with the second chakra, that religion is sublimated sex. Now, it is true that his generalized libido theories and the idea that all the body is erogenous in certain ways, there are a lot of ways in which he slips over the edge. But his system is primarily concerned with second chakra. Adler is primarily concerned with third chakra. Jung is primarily concerned with fourth chakra. I would point out that there is still the fifth, sixth, and seventh chakra. And these are in terms of other kinds of psychic spaces and ways of organizing the universe and understanding what's happening. So that to the extent that you have uncooked seeds at the second chakra and you have a Freudian analyst, he's going to help you cook those seeds. He's not going to do much about where you're stuck in the third chakra particularly. And he hasn't much to say about the fourth chakra, which is what Jung pointed out about Freud. Now, you can take any of these theories and extend them out in many directions, but there is a discontinuous place between the third and fourth stage. And there are theories that are, quote, non-mystical theories, and there are theories that are mystical. Or there are theories that deal with transcendent states, and there are theories that don't. And when Jung starts to deal with his archetypes, collective unconscious, and so on, he is starting to deal with what's called the fourth chakra, which is the same thing as Buddhist compassion. He is still in astral planes, and he himself is afraid to go on. That's quite clear. He goes just so far and then he stops. Because he's afraid that if he goes the next step, he will no longer be able to do what he does as Carl Jung. And that's a very tricky place, to be able to surrender your game, which you have certain mastery in order to go for more. But I'm afraid that everybody is driven to go for more until they can, in the depths of their inner being, say, this is enough. And they can only say that when it is. So that the press of evolution on man's consciousness is inevitable. There's nothing he can do about it. He doesn't have really much choice in the matter. He's just got to wake at the rate he's got to wake. Here is the predicament that one faces about this work. The goal of these efforts is a non-dualistic state. That is, the place you are reaching for is a state where there is only one. Not one versus anything else, just one, right? It all is, it's one. A non-dualistic state. To get to that place, you use methods that are in dualism to talk about it. You use dualism to go beyond dualism, all right? So that all of the planes, other than the plane of one, a Buddhist would say, don't get hung up in all that stuff, because all you're doing is perpetuating dualism, right? A person pursuing another kind of yoga than, say, it wouldn't be just a Buddhist, like, say, a Zen Buddhist would say that. But a Mahayana Buddhist or another kind of Buddhist would say, you can use dualism as a crutch to get yourself beyond dualism if you use it intelligently. So that you can use Guru Rinpoche or Padmasambhava, who is a being on another plane of reality, as a connection to work with, but you know that he's part of the illusion too, and he's going to have to go finally, okay? So within that framework, you can understand that anything I say about planes is all illusory, and you and I both know that, then we can talk about planes, right? Okay, so at that level. There are a variety of systems that project out a number of different numbers of planes. You can have 3, 7, 9, and many more if you want to get into finer and finer gradations. I can only approach this matter of planes in... I can do it experientially through two places. One, I can do it through the variety of psychedelic experiences I've had, where I have experienced various things which I kept in horizontal compartments in my head, in sort of saying, well, that's that hallucination, and that's that one, and that's that one, and that's that one, sort of like in storage units waiting for retrieval when I'd have a model they'd fit into, and then along comes a model which says, oh, and I say, oh, that one is clearly a bloop, see, and that one's a bloop, and it all falls into place, and I say, aha, this system encompasses all the experiences I've had to date anyway, all right? For example, at one point, I take 900 micrograms of LSD standing in the ocean in the middle of the night in Mexico. Right? Now, I'm trying to get into as close to the kind of primitive world, universe. I'm trying to work through my first chakra fears. Right? So I'm standing there with a surf pouring around me, and that's going to drag me out, and I can feel the sand pulling out under my feet, and I can feel the bugs biting me, which makes me want to dive into the surf, except that the stars and the phosphorescence in the water have all become just jeweled carpet that surrounds me in a 360-degree sphere, and I don't see which is up and down, and I have a suspicion that if I go into that wave, there's no way to come up out of it, since up and down seem to be the same thing at that point. So I am sitting there with that predicament, and at that point, it all turns into vectors. That is, all I see is fields of force. All I feel is energy forces, and it's like I'm a point, and there are these forces acting upon me, pushing me in one direction. It's all like a physics problem now. I mean, that's all that's left of the universe. And at that point, I see, most interestingly, that if I do go into the ocean, then I die, but at the same moment, I come into another harmony with the universe, and at either place, I am in perfect harmony with the universe. So now I have gone through an experience which is seeing me that one to me is life and death. I'm seeing that place. Then I'm saying, well, if one to me is life and death, why am I staying alive? And then I see that out of all these vectors, when I sort of summate them, like see where the force is, there's one added vector that is my link to my fellow human being. It's like my incarnation as a member of this species is keeping me attached, that I can't reject my species by killing myself. See, the act of dying is an act of suicide, which is an ego act. And I see that I must live on because I must live on, because that's the way the forces are acting. Right? Okay, now, I can then find that level in many books. describing the level where it is all gotten into a place of just patterns of energy. Right? And I can say, well, now what I'm dealing with is a plane that is very much, very close to the causal plane, which is merely forces and counterforces. It's like the world of yin and yang, right? That level.